So we are coming out of Easter. We're beginning a new sermon series. You can see Doing Life Together. And I want to begin this way. In 1862, a Russian author by the name of Ivan Turgenev wrote a classic called Father and Sons. And in that book, he wrote this. The drawing shows me at a glance what would be spread over 10 pages in a book. Now that stood for a while, and an updated version of that showed up in a real estate ad in the New York Times in 1914. And the ad said this, "A look is worth 1,000 words." And as you might be able to guess, this eventually became the popular phrase, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And the phrase is stuck because it is true. Pictures evoke emotions. Words can too, Dave, so I don't want to disparage your world here. Words can too, but sometimes it takes more words to evoke an emotion. I mean, for example, I can remember getting to the end of a novel where the main character was suddenly hit by a car and died. I cried. I was crushed. I mean, I took an 800-page journey with this fellow. I liked him. And now it was over. I mourned his fictional death. And it's silly, but it took 800 pages for me to get there. But pictures, they communicate emotion almost immediately without a single word being spoken. For example, what do you feel when you see a mother with her newborn baby? Or the wreckage from 9/11 in New York. Or a soldier, a prisoner of war, coming home after Vietnam and being reunited with his family on the tarmac. Or even more recently, a bunch of angry white men from the Charlottesville race riot. They evoke different emotions, don't they? What about closer to home? How does this picture make you feel? Christmas Eve at Bethel. It's true, a picture is worth 1,000 words. I mean, I think that's why I like social media so much. It's pictures. They make us laugh. They make us cry. They make us think. Some of us see a long post without a picture, and we keep scrolling. Right? But it started to make me think of this, is how do you paint or take a picture of what we do here at Bethel? I mean, how do you portray, as the sermon series is, how do you portray how we do life together? I mean, that's harder. That's really hard. I mean, you know that in February, we have our congregational meeting, right? And for those who come, one of the things that I do is I put together a video of pictures of what we've done in the last year. But that isn't one picture, that's like 75 pictures. And it doesn't even cover everything. I mean, I'm not sure we can even fully encapsulate who we are, except for maybe the cross. The cross informs us of who we are and whose we are. It represents what God has done for us. in the person of Jesus. See, we gather in Jesus' name, and we're only here because of what he did on Good Friday and Easter morning. Otherwise, we would literally be just following a dead guy. There's nothing interesting or noteworthy about that. I mean, I have better things to do with my time than follow a dead guy. See, it is in the cross, in the death and resurrection, that gives meaning to Jesus' whole ministry. It gives a priority to the things he said before he died and rose again. Otherwise, what you have here is just another, you know, dead religious leader with an ancient book that records his life. Boring, at least in my estimation. Now, if we go back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we heard one of the first things that he does. Not the very first, but one of the first. He gathers some followers. And this tells us something. And it tells us this, is that God intends for Christians to have other Christians in their lives. So in other words, doing life as a Christian means doing life together. It's not a solitary pursuit. You've heard me say that. God intends for Christians to have other Christians in their lives. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had the same conversation about how people believe, well, you don't need to go to church ever to be a Christian. The last time I had this conversation with somebody was at the Easter egg hunt. Nobody here. You may be thinking it, but you've never said it to me. It's probably good, right? So I was chatting with one of our guests, and they told me they had stopped going to church a long time ago, and they said it was okay because their grandfather, who was a pastor, told her that you don't have to be a Christian and go to church. Now, that's technically true. But that is not God's intentions for us. One of the reasons we get together is to be together. I mean, there's other ways too, but if Sunday morning is your only connection to the Christian community, you are missing out on the importance of doing life together. Now, I wasn't going to tell this person that their grandfather was wrong. Thought about it. Didn't do it. And I didn't go into teacher mode. I didn't go and correct all the things that I thought were wrong, but I was disappointed to hear that. And for those of you who were either at 6:30 out at the Memorial Park or stayed for 10:45, one of the things I said, because it was the service I preached in, is I said, I love having a church family. Except for it being early in the morning. But other than that, I love having a church family and being here because it is the best part of my week. So back to the story. Jesus calls some followers, right? And this is what it says. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And you might be thinking, well, that sounds about right. I mean, that sounds like the story we know. But don't miss this. Long before he sent them out to preach or to drive out demons, he just spent time with them. Wow. Just hanging out together. I mean, yes, there was instruction. But there are also times that we would call just down. Getting to know each other, telling stories, sharing joys and fears and sorrows, and one day for these disciples, cherishing every moment that they had back then. I don't minimize the time we spend together on Sunday morning, the time we worship, the time we gather at the table. But it's not just that, the time that we drink coffee together and today even eat cake together. the time we share our lives over that cup of coffee or tea and other things where people connect, like kid connection and confirmation and even adult education, all times to connect with other Christians. And I told you I'm really excited about next week with this celebration of the arts, where the church family gets to share their creative side with one another, and we get to eat together, not only at the table, but also eat Mexican food. I mean, this doesn't get any better than that. If you're not inviting somebody, I'm just telling, they're going to miss out. Lots of fun. I promise, if you invite somebody, I will not embarrass you next Sunday. I promise. I'll be on my best behavior. Maybe. It's the best I can do. So Paul, Pastor Paul, he wrote a letter to this church in Rome, which he did not have any connection to, but he wanted to write them a letter, and he said it this way. He says, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." That's a different way of saying we belong to each other because of Jesus. He's the one who binds us together, and it's hard to be a body if we're not connected on a regular basis. So back to the notion of a picture is worth a thousand words. This past year, the council, church council, and the staff undertook a special project to express to the community, to us, to the outside, of how we do life together in a new logo for us. We understand that our main identity is found in the cross of Jesus. But could we find a cross that helps visualize who we are, of what we're trying to accomplish? And here's what we're trying to accomplish, by the way. A cross that speaks to the openness of Bethel, the joy that we have at Bethel, the community in Christ we have at Bethel, but also a logo that speaks to future generations, not just us, and to those on the outside. But this cross somehow shows that we are rooted in historic traditions. That's a tall order, right? But I'm going to show you what the council and the staff has worked on over the past year, and I'm going to start with the most basic design and build up from there. So what I'm about to show you isn't the end, it's just the beginning. So we begin here. Don't judge, there's more. We understand, as a church, that we do life together in two distinct ways. First, our life in Christ revolves around the historic church calendar. So in 1 year, and most of you know this, in 1 year, we actually experience the entire life and reign of Christ. In 1 year. And so how would we express that in this cross? Well, let's go this way. We begin in Advent, the beginning of our church year, where we are expecting a king, that we are preparing to welcome a king. And we use blue, of course, in our paraments and here on the cross, because blue is a royal color, and we're expecting a king. Then we move on to Christmas and Epiphany, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who is revealed to the world, which in liturgical circles and in our paraments is gold or white. Both are acceptable. Continuing on in our church year, which we just got done with, is we move into Lent, the purple of Lent, the purple of his passion. And we spend time in Lent, or at least we attempt to spend time in Lent, building in extra disciplines to focus in on the most important work of Christ in his death and resurrection. But then we come back to to Easter, back to a gold or a white holiday, and we remember that our King is pure, he is holy, he is victorious, and it is in Easter that we know that we've been adopted into God's family and that God doesn't leave anyone behind. That's what we just celebrated last Sunday. At the end of the season of Easter comes Pentecost. We remember the work of the Holy Spirit. And that story in Acts 2, when the flames of the Spirit appear above the believers' heads in that earliest of church, and the church is born. But we also remember read in the work of the Spirit on Reformation Sunday to remember that God is active, that the Spirit is active, even changing us now. Because it is that same Spirit that inspires us and spurs us into action. Then we enter into the longest season of the year, ordinary time. You know how I feel about that name. It is anything but that. It is extraordinary because it really is that time that we remember the full life and ministry of Jesus. It is green because it is fertile. It signifies kind of the fields that are growing and the crops that are going. It is a fruitful abundance that we use green in this misnamed season called ordinary time, which takes us all the way back again to a white and gold holiday called Christ the King, when we remember at the end of the church year that Jesus comes and gathers his own because he won't leave anybody behind. So these colors, which you see reflected in our pyramids throughout the year, really tell us the story of Jesus' life, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his return, including the work of the Holy Spirit. So we will use these colors at different times to really show the significance of the seasons we're in. But there's one other way, I told you. We express our life together through our core values. But God revealed something to me this week, and my jaw dropped as God showed this to me. Our core values actually relate to the seasons of the church. I couldn't believe it. I was looking, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But let me show you. Our core value of hospitality, which we named as something we value, should remind us of Advent as we are welcoming a king, that when we have guests, we should treat them like royalty. How about that? That when we hit the white and gold holidays of Christmas and Epiphany and Easter and Christ the King, it is in those that we remember clearly that we have been claimed by God and we've been adopted into God's family. And that we belong to him and we belong to each other. Our next core value is spiritual growth. And think about Lent, that time we take to build spiritual disciplines into our life as if we wanted to grow spiritually. Wow. And then responding to needs, like collecting enough stuff to create 40 layette bags for families who have babies and they're struggling financially. That the red of the Holy Spirit is a reminder that we have been inspired to help others because of what God has done in our life. And then our last core value of generosity. The fertile abundance and generosity of our God and what God has done for us helps us to be generous with others inside and outside the church. Now, this is just the first of a series where I'm actually going to come back and talk about our core values one at a time with a special surprise each week. Right, Melody? Huh? I'm trying to get people excited. Yeah. So the question is, we have different kind of colors and versions of this, but my question to you is, what do you think would happen if we put all of those elements together? Let me show you. This is it. Here we go. This could be my last Sunday here. Here we go. Our life together. That's what that is. The blue of Advent, the green of ordinary time, the purple of Lent, the red of Reformation and Pentecost, the gold of Easter and Christmas and Epiphany, and of course, the green of extraordinary time. That is how we do life together. Now, here's the thing. It represents that, but when I look at this, it also shows me a couple of things that I hope you sense. The joy of that cross because of the colors, the liturgical colors. It also shows me, when I look at it a different way, that each of us is different, but we are one in Christ. We come from different places. Some of us come from different countries. We come from different parts of the United States, some of us, but yet in Christ we become one. So it recognizes our differences, but we're still one. So you're going to see some variations of this. Liturgical colors, core value colors, full color. You're going to just see it in different ways. Matter of fact, you can already see it on the website. Thanks, Dave Arnold. It's already up. Yeah. You're going to see it in the e-newsletter and other places. And by the way, a description of what I just preached on, this second half, is already up on the website. So as people want to understand what our logo's about, everything I just talked about is there, so it defines that. But we also might see it on some new things, like maybe some water bottles.
Did you say new things?
New things.
Oh, well, let me show you some new things.
Yeah. This is the swag part of the sermon?
Well, it's just part of the swag. It's the intro to swag. So we're looking at, starting off, some Bethel water bottles. Yes, come on. Ooh.
This is being recorded. We need to show
excitement. We won't be polling you as to which color you like better, but it's about half and half that people like. So they have the logo on them. What we're going to do with these is there's going to be a little stand next to the bottle filler station in the narthex with a little a suggestion box. The donation will be pretty minimal. And if a person's a first-time visitor, is anybody a first-time visitor right now, today? Who could put you on the spot? If they are, they get one for free. Wait, who's a first-time visitor? Oh, my gosh. You are our first recipient. Do you care for gray or purple? Which one?
Purple.
All right, purple. So in action already. Now, there'll be some other things coming down the road. We're looking at maybe doing one of the websites where you can take the logo and print it on different things that you might be interested in, like a shirt or a hat.
Yeah.
Ben would like a tattoo artist to come, and we'll be doing those one of the...
Whoa, 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 I think I probably should go now.
But we'll have lots of opportunities for this to show up in different places.
Absolutely. And for anybody who's a Bethel member and would like a water bottle, what are we going to say? Are they about $3? Is that what we're...
I think it was five.
$5. So if you want one of those water bottles, just to and we're just passing on cost. This is not a moneymaker. This is to break even. So we'll give them to our guests. But if you'd like one, we certainly have them for sale as well. So with that, and Jesus hasn't tipped over the tables here in the money changers. That's good. With that, I say amen, and we're going to be exploring how we do life together over the next 5 weeks. Amen.